You're listening to a curated podcast from the Beyond Infinity radio program, broadcast live on Tuesdays from 11 a.m. from our Mornington studios in Victoria, Australia. Presented by me, Piers Cunningham.
And me, John Young.
President Donald Trump, after meeting with his European counterparts, has decided to pull out of the Paris Agreement, which was an agreement where all of the world, bar I think two countries, I think it was Syria and one other country, I think it was Nicaragua or somewhere.
Yeah.
Basically, the rest of the world came together and they agreed on setting targets. The aim of them was to try to gradually mitigate the risk of climate change.
It was to keep the limit of climate change to a ceiling of 2 degrees, I think it was, before pre-industrial levels.
And so what I thought we'd just talk about here was just the reaction that this has got around the world. Mm. And I mean, it really is flying in the face of a very broad consensus that was a real struggle to get in Paris back in December the 12th, 2015, hailed as a huge triumph of multilateral diplomacy led by Presidents Obama and President Xi from China. There are apparently several key moments when those two vital world powers threw their weight behind the proposals and got it over the line. So a lot of people around, a lot of leaders around the world have been really very disappointed in the new administration, the Trump administration's change to this and proposals. Now, they have said, to give them their due, I will mention that they have said that they are going to renegotiate it. They're not saying that they're going to throw the whole thing out and have
nothing to do with it.
The US have said they're going to renegotiate it. Yep. So there is some scope for them to be involved or to have some acceptance of some of the recommendations of Paris, perhaps not all of them. Now, we've actually also been in touch with David Caroli, who I believe is on a break at the moment.
Yeah.
He's a professor, a climate expert at Melbourne University. We've had him on the program. We've got some podcasts. You can just do a search on our website for David Caroli and you'll find them. But David was very, very adamant about the need to do some serious things to address climate change in Australia and around the world. And he was actually one of the people who formulated the written document that came out of the Paris
agreement. The IPCC, I think he was an author of part
of that. Yeah, he was one of the people who was advising world leaders in working towards that Paris Agreement. Just to go through some of the examples of, you know, really loud voices around the world. The Pope, for example, has come out and said...
He had a huge document or something, I think he handed across to Trump when he was over
there. That's right, because they met when he did his European tour earlier in the year. He's also ignored the CEOs of hundreds of major corporations.
Well, Elon Musk ended up walking out of his advisory team because he joined as part of an advisory tech team. And he said, well, if my advice is going to go unheard of, you're not going to listen to it, then I don't need to be part of this team. So he's actually left that team. Some people have argued and said that's not the right way to go. He should have stayed on board to at least try and keep in Trump's ear. But I support what Musk has done because if Trump's going to go and do his own thing, do the opposite of the good advice provided to him, there's no need to be part of that team.
Big oil, for example, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, BP and Shell, Total and Statoil, the leaders of those companies have all come out and said they support the Paris agreements regardless of what the US administration decides to do. I mean, the list goes on. China's foreign ministry, a spokesman for them called Liu Kang came out and said, quote, no matter how other countries' policies on climate change, as a responsible, large developing country, China's resolve, aims and policy moves in dealing with climate change will not change. So the largest polluter in the world saying they're going to stick with the Paris Agreement. It's only Nicaragua and Syria out of all of the nations of the world who didn't sign on to
even
the
North
Paris
Korea
Agreement.
Was a signatory.
Yes, that's right. A spokesman for the Kremlin came out after the US withdrawal and said President Putin signed this convention in Paris. Russia attaches great significance to it. So even his Russian friends, who may or may not have helped him get over the line and become president, even they are sticking to it.
Well, there was two parts to it from what I could see. On the one hand, we could see that Trump was trying to boost jobs and therefore thought that the coal industry needed more people working in it, and this climate agreement was hurting that. On the other hand, he thought that it was bad for America. I've heard a lot of people talk about if other people are winning, he must be losing, that not everyone can be winning together. And he likes to talk about always winning. By others that have said this is good for the world, then he sees that it must be bad for America and therefore he needs to exit out of it.
It's an interesting state of mind, isn't it? One of the most telling comments I thought about the US threat to withdraw completely came from the Marshall Islands president, Hilda Heiner. who said a president's job is to protect their citizens, grow the economy, and pave the way for huge future generations. Acting on climate change is the best way to do all of this. While we're extremely disappointed to see the United States seeking to roll back its efforts to reduce emissions, we are heartened to see the rest of the world remains firmly committed to the Paris Agreement and to reaping the enormous economic opportunities that come with it. My country's survival depends on every country delivering on the promises they made in Paris. Our own commitment to it will never waver. Pretty strong statements there. The report that I'm referring to was published by the Union of Concerned Scientists in a blog post, and we'll post links to this so you can read it in detail yourself. But they describe this as an abdication of leadership by Trump. So this is an American group of scientists who've got together and come out pretty strongly. And Nicholas Burns, Deputy Secretary of State in the George W. Bush administration, which was another Republican administration like Trump's, he said earlier this year, "I think it would be a major mistake, even a historic mistake, to disavow the Paris deal. I can't think of an issue, except perhaps NATO, where if the US simply walks away, it would have such a major negative impact on how we are seen."
And I just want to say that there's four simple things as part of this agreement, just so everyone's clear. Number one, it was to set up that global goal of keeping the global temperatures from rising above the 2 degrees centigrade, pre-industrial levels.
Yep.
Number two, it did set non-binding agreements for countries, but to reach peak greenhouse gas emissions as soon as possible. So that means that all countries were trying to reach that peak emission and then start decline use. That means using green technologies. Number three, it adds a framework for countries to become more aggressive in reaching these goals over time. So this will be, with other countries, some kind of emissions trading scheme type scenario or the green technology share. And just finally on these sort of simple points here is that it asks the richer countries to help out the poorer countries. Now, America is a huge global emitter. I think it's about 30%. I think it's second to China. Yeah, and the wealthy nation. Mm. So there are very poor nations that are suffering the effects of climate change.
Yep.
And all this agreement was trying to do was say, well, reach peak emissions and wind down from there, look to use greener technology and sell that off or make it more affordable. Look at what Tesla's doing, Elon Musk is doing with, you know, Solar City and those technologies. And then help out the poorer countries so that, okay, if the waters rise and their islands go away, they need to be migrated elsewhere. And this is where they want to lean on the bigger countries. With America removing themselves from this, they're saying, well, we don't want to do that. We don't want to help in any way. We just want to keep burning. And it seems
like even though, you know, Trump got in with what seemed like a strong majority at the time, at least in the Electoral College, now they've done some surveys and they've said a majority of Americans say they are worried that climate change will pose a serious risk to their way of life. A recent Quinnipiac University poll found that 62% of people do not support President Trump's policies to roll back action on climate change.
And there's actually a lot of mayors that have come out from cities
across... That's right, governors, mayors.
...that have said, we'll continue to do whatever the climate agreement set out to achieve, and whatever Trump's position is, we are going to stick with the agreement and do our best to help the world.
Yep, this article from the Union of Concerned Scientists really does just list an amazing bunch of high-powered people around the world from all walks of life, whether it's business, church, government or elsewhere, who have all spoken out so strongly against this. It's really quite amazing that the US administration would be sticking to their guns. As I did say, though, it depends on the detail of this. They've said they want to renegotiate it. So that's kind of quite a broad thing. It's pretty vague at this stage what actual changes will happen. We also know that alternative energy development over there, whether it's solar or wind, they've become big industries which employ a lot of people. So
the idea that
you've got to go back to coal to somehow save jobs, well, those jobs have actually been replaced with jobs in renewable clean technology. That doesn't seem to hold water, the idea that, you know, you're saving jobs in the coal industry.
Look, the big problem with the agreement itself, and I think even Professor Crowley had mentioned this when we had him in the studio, was that it was actually non-binding. So you could sign up to it and there was no penalties for not achieving this other than the global catastrophe of going over that 2 degrees warming. If America had not taken themselves out of it and just done nothing, it would have probably been the same effect. In a way, it's difficult because you want to see action, but they could have just stood back and then just not done anything, and that would have had the same effect of leaving.
The Union of Concerned Scientists in America say that while it's deeply unfortunate that President Trump is trying to take the federal government in the opposite direction of the rest of the world, his actions won't cause these leaders to reverse course. If anything, his head-in-the-sand approach is leading many of them to step up even more forcefully on the issue. they go on to describe the action as misinformed, harmful to the real interests of America, and will do real damage to the standing of the US in the world. It will not derail the Paris Agreement, nor should it lessen the commitment of other countries. And that certainly seems to be the case. A lot of world leaders have come out and said, well, we're not changing our position on climate change or on the Paris Agreement one iota just because America is. Thanks for listening.
And head to beyondinfinity.com.au for the best bits from the live show or to connect with us on social media. We welcome your feedback and suggestion for future shows.